shut your mug ass cremation face. I don't know what you want to call him, but shut your fuck ass up, okay? And she says, quote,
wait, did it cremation face?
I don't know. I can't. What am I thinking?
Ceramic face?
Yes, thank you. I think I had kiln in my head, so I was like, cremation.
Hello.
Oh, hi there. I didn't see you.
Welcome to Say Smut. Come on in. We're a literary podcast for readers and non-readers.
Yeah, please come join us. That is Sarah, and she loves books.
And that is Hope. She loves talking to me about books. Each episode, I break down the plots of some pretty wild books to Hope, who has not read them. And Hope, did you notice something about our document today?
No.
I did not put the title.
Oh, I just thought it was named because I made it.
Oh, no. Okay, I guess you did make the document.
So I noticed nothing. It was exactly as I created. That's
fair. No, that's fair. You typically call out, though, if I don't put the title in there, it's because the title is going to reveal something.
Yes. It's not that it's ominous, but kind of.
It is. It is kind of ominous. I want to put a plug up before we start, though, that, you know, if you love us oh so much, or if you were like, that greeting was so good. I've never heard you guys before, but that greeting really lit a match in me. You should, you know, rate and review us on the podcast platform of your choosing. And then you say, hey, you know what? I want to keep up with those girly pops. You're going to head over to either TikTok or Instagram and follow us at Say Smut Podcast. So you can get updates about what we're doing, and you can see the beautiful art that Hope creates. I just created a highlight on our Instagram where you can see all the art that she has created thus far. I realized it's not as much as I thought it was going to be. I thought you had done like one from every episode, but you have not.
I've done a lot of them, but I don't know how many of them we have archived.
That's fair. That is now a standing segment that you can look forward to is Hope's art. And one of the authors even said that your art was so beautiful. Which one was that again? I think it was the bear.
I believe it was Birthday Bear.
It was Holly Wild.
Which is a huge honor because, as you know, I was fucking obsessed with the cover.
Yes.
One of the covers of Birthday Bear.
And I have a surprise for you today, Hope, that we have two covers as well. I will have you only rate, I know you're going to like the other one more, but I'm going to only have you rate the first one because it's the one that comes on the Kindle now. So it's the one that you typically see.
That's fair.
So with all this said, are you ready to dive into our book today, Hope?
Spoolish splash. I'm ready to dive in.
Okay. We are reading Claimed by a Coffee Mug by Shayla Storm. Okay.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
A few notes before we get in. Content warnings. We've got sexual content, voyeurism. We kind of have a sub-dom dynamic. There's mention of murder.
Oh.
And mention of a death of a parent off page.
Okay.
So, okay. You're like, murder and coffee cups? What's going on?
No, that is humorous to me. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about something in the research and then something you said, and I don't think they're actually related.
Okay.
It just made me laugh.
Can you loop that back around and tell us when it is?
Yeah, hold on. Let me jot just a little.
Get a little note in there telling yourself to remind us of murder, or death of a parent. I guess I don't know which one you were oohing and aahing at. But I will tell our listeners while you write that note is that on Storygraph, it has a 3.36, and on Goodreads, it has a 3.22. Our author, Shayla Storm, I could not find a bio for them. So unfortunately, they will be a person of mystery to us all. We will just continue to be mystified by their findings. I think this is...
Keep your secrets.
Yeah. This is a third book by them. I believe they have three books. And I'm hoping you'll see where I hope this. That this will hopefully be a series. So cool. Are you ready to dive in?
Yes. Still ready to dive in.
She is doggy paddling in the water, ready to go.
I dove in a while ago and have just been kicking it in here.
I just always want consent, Hope. That's all I want is consent, consent. Okay. Have you ever had a really good thrift store find?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me about it.
I recently got some cute little XO earrings where the O's are hearts for Valentine's Day.
Cute.
Perfect. I've been trying to have like fun themed earrings. I have a lot of baked good earrings for work. And I was trying to get some good Valentine's Day stuff for when I worked the week of Valentine's Day. And they were perfect.
Excellent. I used to thrift a lot of clothes in middle school and high school. And I it was really great because my mom loved it. I would find formal dresses and then we would just spend like $5 on the dress and then go get it tailored for $15 because all it needed was like a little hemming or like, you know, and then I spent like $20 on a formal dress. So I really was the ideal kid in a lot of ways. But our main character, Nora, is going through a really rough time. She was laid off not too long ago, which I think some people can relate to. Can they not?
How dare you?
I wasn't going to say anything, okay?
I think it's obvious. Maybe it's not. If, for people who are maybe newer to the podcast, it's not that my being laid off was the, like, spark event for us thinking of doing a podcast.
Oh,
but it most certainly is the reason we finally started doing a podcast that we've long talked about.
Same week you got laid off, you contacted me. We've been theorizing about it for a while. I've
been around for a little bit.
And you were like, you contacted me and you're like, maybe it's because I'm laid off, but I need a creative outlet and I need something to do. Can we just do this already?
I have ample free time and a lot of anxiety. What if we filled it with something, anything at all?
So Nora hasn't gotten to the podcasting stage of her unemployment. Okay.
That's okay. I hope she comes to the crafting stage soon because that is fun.
Yeah, that's a good time. But she's going through a rough time and she was like, I need some retail therapy. So she goes to Nana's attic, which when I first read this, I thought she actually went to her Nana's attic and I was going to be like, have you found anything crazy in your Nana's house? And I was going to be like, I've found so many. And then that was not the direction this
way. I just assumed she went to my actual Nana's house.
Your Nana's house. But it's a premier thrift store in her area. So she's, you know, when you go to a thrift store and you don't pick up no one gets a cart or a basket on intuition because you think I'm just going to go look, you know?
Yeah, no, it's like, once you've started accumulating.
You start accumulating things in your arms and they're clanking together and you're like, I'm one step away from breaking something.
Right. Once you hit the wombo combo of clothes and like second category, like clothes and furniture or clothes and lamp. Like,
yeah.
You gotta kind of start getting them. Your stuff together in a car.
Yes. So she's awkwardly holding a few of items when she spots this extremely unique mug on a shelf. And when she reaches out and touches the handle, a shot of heat races up her arm and someone says, "Release me now, you witch."
Oh,
look. So she like looks around and she like sees two people talking over by a love seat. And I don't know if that was like her being like, maybe they said it. I don't know.
But
she
was to
like,
each other on the
release me now, you witch. But she decides she can't leave this mug behind. So she like looks at it a little closer. She ignores that happened because she chalks it up. She genuinely chalks it up to like, I've been low on sleep, which sleep will come in a lot during this, this book.
Cool.
She's like, I'm in low on sleep. I'm super stressed out. Let me just look at it again. So it's so interesting. And I don't think it's that interesting, but it's so interesting.
Liar.
Because it's a mug that is like dark tan at the bottom and kind of fades into a dusty gray at the top and has flecks of gold across the surface. I think that's the fuggliest sounding mug in the world.
I guess I'm just having a hard time imagining it.
Nora says that it is somehow quaint and regal at the same time.
Sure.
Sure. Okay. I mean,
so like an ombre mug with gold flecks.
So she goes to grab it again and she is now like kind of rolling it around in her hands, like looking at it at the bottom, looking at the sides. And she hears, "Who the hell are you? Be gone." And she's so startled and she looks around again until she looks back at the mug and notices that there are blinking eyes on the mug. No other facial features, just blinking. So do you know what I'm picturing at this point?
Please do tell me. I don't know.
It is essentially a mug version of the Microsoft mascot Clippy. Oh, okay,
that is infinitesimally cuter than what I was imagining.
That is what I'm picturing at this point. Is like those big round eyeballs, like protruding from.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. You have to understand that I watched The Substance yesterday.
I have no clue what that movie is about.
So I'm not even going to get deeply into it because if you have watched it, you'll know. And if you haven't watched it, you won't. But just know I was picturing it's spooky. Hey, spooky. It was spooky and I didn't like it because I just watched The Substance yesterday.
Okay. Fair, fair, fair.
And if you know, you know.
If you know, you know. I do not know. But the mug starts like popping off on her and is like, you won't get away with this, Jacinda Bell.
That's a name I've not heard before.
So there's a lot of confusion happening between the mug and Nora. And when she goes to like kind of turn the mug upside down again, he's like, would you stop that? Face me towards you, woman. Now. We don't like calling women that. Like, that's not, you don't say that to somebody you don't know. So Nora, like, responds in her mind by saying, I can't remember if this was in her mind or if she said this out loud. But she's like, I might not know what's going on, but I wasn't about to be spoken to like that. Not by a man and definitely not by a mug.
Well, fair.
Tell them, sister.
Do not let your mugs talk to you like that.
Yeah.
Until you've had your coffee first.
Yes. So she turns to leave, but he's like quickly apologizing. And he introduces himself as Emerson Blackmore.
Okay.
Which Nora notes to the reader, I hadn't been expecting a name. And definitely not one that sounded so ... Earth.
Okay.
Earthy would be the best not so adjective earth. To use. Earth as a noun. That was an interesting choice.
Could have ended anyway. And so I wasn't sure if it was going to be like, she wasn't expecting it to have a name at all. She wasn't expecting it to have a name so earth. I thought maybe she wasn't expecting it to be so sexy. Like maybe we were going to dive in deep.
Oh, we'll get there.
I thought we might.
Okay, so both of them are hella confused. And she's like, you know what? I can't just leave him here. Obviously, something's going on. I'm going to bring him home. And she like goes to pay for him. And the woman says, like at the clerk at the front desk, says that he came in during an estate sale. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Does the person at the store also gender the mug?
No.
Just checking.
I will say that we know by now it's a he. Him.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So the clerk puts him in a plastic bag and they are heading out to the car and he starts freaking out because he thinks he's going to get suffocated. And she's like, I'm going to be honest. I don't know. Like, I don't know if you'll get suffocated in a plastic bag.
I don't know how it works for mugs. You really might die right now.
She takes him out when they get in the car and she sets him on the floorboard where he'll allegedly be safest because she doesn't think she can buckle him in. I don't know if she thinks his eyes are going to get like in the way of because he has no other facial features to our knowledge. He has no mouth to our knowledge, no nose, no eyebrows, no nothing, just eyes. So she was like, here's what I need from you, Emerson Blackmore. I need you to shut your mug ass cremation face. I don't know what you want to call him, but shut your fuck ass up. Okay. And she says, quote,
did a cremation face?
I don't know. I can't. What am I thinking?
Ceramic face?
Yes. Thank you. I think I had kiln in my head. So I was like, cremation. Oh my gosh.
Get your cremation face out up here.
Shut your cremation face up. Ooh. Okay. So she says, I need you to shut the fuck up. And she's like, quote, I don't think I can drive and focus on the fact that there's a talking coffee mug in my car.
Yeah, what a Beauty and the Beast experience to be having.
So they skirt home in silence. And she's like, nope. When they get in the door, he like starts talking. She's like, nope, not yet.
Nope, so no word from you.
She goes get a not alive mug and fills it with some tea and then sits him down on the couch and they decide to have a conversation. He realizes that he's been asleep for 300 years. And he originally hails from the kingdom of Great Britain. And only then does he tell her, when he tells her that, does she realize that he indeed does have a British accent. They've talked so many times at this point.
They've been having a lot of conversations.
They've had quite a bit of conversation by this point. So she says, quote, the accent was sort of sexy had it not been coming from a coffee mug. I mean, like, I don't know why that's your prejudice, like, showing. Like, I don't know why the coffee mug stopped you from thinking it's sexy.
Imagine the deepest, sexiest accent you can think of. Yes. And just kind of, here's what you do. Put the mug maybe in a corner. Turn the eyes away. Mm-hmm. Let that mug just kind of talk ambiently about you. And then just close your eyes and envision it, a human being that's not a mug.
Yeah, we'll get around to that. We'll get around to that concept not too far later.
Cool.
So throughout the book, I want you to note now that she's like low-key filling him in on the history of the last 300 years, because she like tells him like, well, so now we are in the United States. And he's like, what the fuck? And she was like, oh, yeah. Remember the colonies? So like we had a war and we gained our freedom. He's like, oh, fuck you guys. Like he was like, but we're friends now. We're like, all like good now.
Now we're best friends.
We're besties. It was
so long ago that just it's only right to let it go.
Yeah. The irony is there's a scene where she's like he doesn't know what pizza is, of course. Like, sure. But then there's a scene where he's like, maybe I should try meditation. And she's like, how do you know about meditation? He was like, well, I had friends in India. And she's like, oh yeah, I forgot. Yeah, the British didn't do great things in India. Sorry to tell you that.
Like, yeah, also, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So now we're going to get into the lore of Emerson. Okay.
Okay. I'm ready for the Emerson lore.
So while he knows he's a mug, he keeps insisting that he's a man.
Sure.
So she's like, tell me the full story. He used to live in a small village near a wooded area. Okay. Jacinda Bell was this kind of like creepy old woman that lived in those woods and kind of lurked in a lair. He will always refer to it as a lair. I wanted to believe it was like Hansel and Gretel cottage situation. No,
sure.
No, but no, she would.
Oh, lair.
No, lair. So she would lure children in from the villages to the woods to her lair. And only a few of those children would return. And those who did were very scarred by untold horrors. Okay.
Yikes.
So him and a bunch of men decide to storm Jacinda Bell's lair to end her for good. But she wielded magic.
No. Shocker.
And had all these horrible beasts that he does not elaborate on, other than saying that she had some beasts. Okay.
Just know she had them.
Just know they were there. Okay. So she killed most of the men. All right. And the three that survived, she wasn't going to let them escape. So she cast a spell turning these three men into objects.
Mm-hmm.
He said that the pain was so terrible, and then he only had a few moments of consciousness as a mug before she made them go to sleep. Okay? I will note now that he does not specify who the two other men were, whether they were mugs as well.
He might not know.
They were some. So that is what I want you to hold on to. I wanted those to come back into the story.
Okay.
They don't.
Okay. So just you're letting me know in advance not to be concerned about two men who were objects we don't find out about and we'll never hear from.
What I want, though, is for them to be the other books, right?
Oh.
So like, okay, Shayla, hear me out. If I'm looking at your other book titles, I do not think that this got spread out into other books, but
you could start right now.
You could start right now. Expand on the lore. Okay. So she says at one point, am I just supposed to believe that you were cursed by some witch? And he says, quote, is it easier to believe I was born this way by a mug mother to a long line of mugs?
Right. Also,
you
are talking to a mug.
Like, why is this hard to realize? Okay. So she's like kind of observing him while he's given this monologue. And she keeps throughout the whole book, she will keep noting that he has a blemish above one of his eyes on the mug. Okay.
Okay.
Like something went wrong during the kilning process, but it doesn't make sense to her because she's like, if he was made of magic, there shouldn't be a blemish.
Right. Like, right? Like,
so an issue will you please begin your research on what the process of a cremation face looks
how do you cremation face? This mug man has cremation face.
resting cremation face,
and I'm here to tell you how it forms and what you can do about it.
Thank you.
Actually, no. What Sarah asked me to research is what can go wrong when you're using a kiln and firing things in a kiln. And so welcome to this segment. I will be calling Kilning It When Firing Clay Goes Wrong.
I like that. That was a good one. Better than my cremation face.
Nothing is better than your cremation face.
God. Okay, just go. Just do your research.
Thank you so much to the Artist Outpost and Soul Ceramics for their insightful articles on common pottery and kiln issues, which I will be covering in my research. But to back up to make sure that we know what I'm talking about, what even is a kiln? Well, I'm happy to tell you, it's basically a fancy oven that you use to dry out ceramic pieces. And that's pretty much what a kiln is basically a fancy oven. Although, for context, we are not talking about like oven to bake cookies in hot. We're talking about 2000 to 2400 degrees hot.
Yes.
Super hot. Sarah, have you ever used a kiln before?
Yes. In art class a couple of times. Yes.
Yes.
Not great. Like on the reg, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
You did. Like in elementary school and high school and college throughout?
Probably maxed out at high school. I don't think I took any classes of art in college, but yes, like it's this weird like tube, like almost like a tube I've seen them look like. Mm-hmm. And then typically it's like ceramic on the, almost like a ceramic material, clay material on the inside. And then like it gets, you open the top up. I don't know how to, I don't know what I'm saying. Never
no,
mind.
That is.
Thank you.
That is what it's like. And that's good insight too, because I have had access to a kiln in my childhood. We fired off pieces when I was in elementary school, but like we were elementary school children. So we did not see the kiln.
Yes. Yes.
We would like, make a little clay piece and then it has to dry out for a while. And then you can put it in a kiln to make it hard. And then after it comes out, you can glaze it and like, you know, paint it up and stuff. And then you have to fire it again so that that sets. And when it works out really great. But sometimes, your piece gets absolutely ruined, in the kiln, and so much can go wrong.
Yeah. As things do.
So the most major issue is what I'm referring to as pottery explosion. So if you make a pottery piece, look, that's what it is. It's a pottery explosion. If you make a pottery piece and the piece meets a tragic demise before you're finished with it, that's probably because it exploded in the kiln, aka pottery explosion. And what happens is like the internal pressure of your clay piece surpasses the structural limits of that clay piece, and so it just kind of explodes. Typically that's caused by steam trying to escape out and exploding out. Like moisture will get in the clay and then can't get out, or like gases that burn off in that type of clay can't get out properly, and then, or like the speed that the piece heats up and cools down can also mess with its structural integrity and make it explode. Sometimes the pieces will only crack a little bit that way, but sometimes they will just like completely fall apart. It really depends. You can prevent that and fix that by making sure that your pieces are as dry as humanly possible before you fire them, so you get rid of all the moisture. And then you have to set up the correct firing schedule, which just means like the rate that the kiln starts to increase in temperature. You have to make sure that that's optimal for your pieces, so that as it starts getting hotter and hotter, it doesn't like, I don't know, get mad and explode for the aforementioned reasons. You want to make sure that everything has an even thickness so that like it parts don't dry out sooner and become more brittle. And then also you got to make sure the whole kiln is ventilated so that the heat can circulate. All of that to help prevent pottery explosion. That's a thing that can happen.
Okay.
That's like the most common thing that can happen. You can also get bloating in your piece, and that's when a bubble forms inside the clay, usually due to like contaminants that are in the clay. There's also a thing that's called black coring, which I found to be confusing to explain and understand. But basically, I think it's like clay has, you know, like metals and gases in it. And so when you fire it in a kiln, they react to that heat and like burn off. But sometimes those components in the clay can't burn off the way they're supposed to. So if you crack open a piece, you'll see it's like the middle of the clay of the piece is black.
Okay.
And that's bad.
Okay. I'll believe you.
Yeah, that's bad. That's the thing I learned. It can go wrong. And then lots of glaze imperfections. So like there's something called crazing that can happen, which is a great name for it.
Yeah.
It's when you get cracks in the glaze layer on your pottery piece. And that happens because the thermal expansion of the glaze and the clay don't match up or like happen in sync. So the glaze will like expand and contract as it's being heated up. And so will the piece, but if they do them differently, like the it'll crack the glaze.
Yeah.
They're not doing it in sync. You can also get chipping in a way that's kind of similar. It's called shivering, but it's where the edge of the glaze you have will chip off. And it's because the glaze contracted when it was heating up more than the piece did. So you may have painted the whole thing, but when it heated up, the glaze like shrunk at more of a rate than the rest of your piece did, so it'll like chip and be weird at the bottom. That can happen while you're firing in a kiln. So lots of stuff. The solution to almost anything that goes wrong in a kiln is making sure you have a good firing schedule and that the pieces you have are dry and that you're not putting too many pieces in a kiln at one time and the ventilation is good. But usually the things that can go wrong are it has cracked or exploded the whole piece straight up.
Yeah.
Or if you're in the glazing process, the glaze will be cracked, but the piece will be fine. And that's because of the weird, like, expanding and contracting of the piece. Or the glaze will be chipped weird, and that can also be from expanding and contracting. Or just, like, structurally within the clay, it can get brittle or, like, black or marred from different things, either not burning off or not burning off all the way or all the different stuff above. All of that can go so wrong. So well, what happened to Emerson?
Well, I think that's interesting because I'm like thinking back in elementary school, we'd always, there's always a segment on pottery, whether we did pots or mugs or cups, you know, like it was just always something.
Little Christmas trees you paint with your fingers.
Yeah, little Christmas tree ornaments or something. So I'm just trying to remember like people having things go wrong and then the teacher would be like, we'll get another one, you know, like, you know,
you don't get to paint your thing today because it completely exploded into 500 pieces, which brings me back. I'm glad I remembered this to what I was laughing at earlier that I said we could put a pin in about, I'm going to include a brief content warning just right here for like 20 seconds or however long this conversation takes about the thing that made me laugh. Because it was when Sarah was doing her content warning. So note, it's a content warning about talking about content warnings.
Okay.
When you said content warning, parent death, I was thinking about things that can go wrong in a kiln. And I had already kind of gotten, you told me the title of the book. So I was like, it's about a mug. And instead of being like main characters, parental unit passes away, my head was like sentient mugs, parental mug exploded in a kiln, parental
he came
death.
From a long line of mugs, as
he
we
came
know
from a long line of mugs, and one tragically exploded in a kiln.
Thankfully she had already given birth by that point.
Mugs must give birth
before entering the
kiln. Definitely before you enter with glaze, possibly before you enter a kiln at all.
Yes.
Maybe you are born and then you immediately birth.
Yeah. But
I'm
like,
not
when,
sure.
When does the life of a mug really begin?
Someone please give me the talk about the mugs and the saucers.
You save the life of the mug mother, the mug child. I'm sorry. It's not political. I promise it's not political.
Whose fault is it if the mug baby explodes?
Yeah.
What if in a pottery explosion?
What if we can save the life of the mug mother, but not the mug child, not the saucer? Okay. Sorry.
I don't know.
We're done.
I need to be sat in a corner and made to think about my actions.
Thank you for your research.
You're so welcome.
I so appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Nora, we're going to go back to the scene because Emerson is like so hopeful that Nora's going to have answers for him because, of course, she would.
She has 300 years worth of information he can't even fathom. So, surely she knows how to unmug a man.
So, Nora regrets to inform Emerson that she is merely a mortal woman and can barely take care of herself. And then she's like, you know what? I really need a nap. I'm just gonna take a nap on this couch, and he's just gonna chill on the couch and wait for me while I take this nap.
I'm gonna put him in a cupboard, and I'm gonna enter a different room where I can't hear him, and I'm gonna take a 1 to 3 hour nap.
Well, it ended up being 5 hours. When she wakes from her dream, she's kind of like half in, half out, and she's very horny. So what better thing to do than to masturbate on her couch? Only after does she have an orgasm does she realize that her new mug roommate was sitting there the whole time for the whole show.
Right where you left him.
He gets her attention by going like, clearing his throat. And I just wonder, does he have a throat? What is the throat? Probably not. I don't understand.
Look, he's been talking this whole time. We don't have time for questions like
no.
that.
No, the anatomy of a mug is not something we have time to talk about. Okay. No. She says, quote, I guess that was the best show you've had in 300 years. And he says, and the 35 before that. Hey, is our man flirting with her?
Also, just know if/when he becomes a man, he will be 35.
So that's exactly what she clocks. She's like, he's about my age.
Yes.
And so they're kind of flirting back and forth. And he goes, oh, I saw how you sipped that tea. I could imagine filling your mouth.
Do you produce what you fill it with?
What?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that seems like, on the one hand, a silly question, because the obvious answer is like tea, coffee, and other beverages. Well, but it does imply that he's producing something that will fill her mouth. And therein, I have even more questions. Yes.
I think the scene was like that she was going to go to the kitchen and get something to drink. And he was like, make sure to wash your hands. And she was like, I'm sorry, do I need to give you some coffee, like, essentially to shut you up? Like, and he was like, oh, as long as you drink it out of me, I saw how you sipped that tea. But, like, that was the context.
Okay.
So then she gives him a tour of the house and starts explaining all the technology in the Lord's year of 2022.
Starts truly parading this mug around like dogs in TikToks about showing dogs things they've never seen before.
Precisely.
This is the inside of the microwave.
She's expecting him to be like shooketh by all these inventions. And then he reminds her that like, during his day and age, when they also had problems, they would solve them with new inventions. So it's not surprising to him that it's been 300 years that they've come up with new inventions. So he's like, I'm not that surprised.
I'm not impressed. No. We've been inventing. That's interesting.
So while he's like looking out the front window, because he asks her to put him in front of a window for him to hang out while
she'll
she
be
does
the outside.
Yeah. Nora decides the best idea is to contact her friend Leslie, who I'm going to tell you right now is an absolute bitch. So she's like, I can totally trust Leslie. Sorry, I almost said Lisa. Leslie, with this newfound information, that sounds absolutely insane. She's like, my friend Leslie always knows what to do in every situation. She'll totally believe me and tell me it's like the new fad to have a boyfriend who's a mug. And,
you know, like friends do.
So keep this character point in mind for later. Okay?
Yeah, Sarah, if you start dating a mug, I'm going to be really open to it.
Okay, I will say that our friend Addie and I have an agreement that we will always believe each other if we find out that the other person, like if we find out that we're a clone, or like if we find out we're in a time loop or like something crazy.
Right, like or magic is real and a magic has happened.
We will always believe it because we save so much time than doing the whole runaround of is this true? Well, true. Leslie is apparently not that same type of friend because Leslie comes over and Nora presents Emerson the mug to her as if she's caught something so wonderful. And Leslie's like, you named your mug Emerson? And she's like, no. Like, look, I found him earlier today. And then she thinks that, Leslie thinks that she had caught something in the mug. And she's like, I think it's gone now. Like a frog or something.
It's empty in there.
It's empty. And she's like, no. The mug, though. Like, it's the mug that I'm talking about. Like, he can talk. I met him earlier. And, like, all of a sudden, Nora realizes that Leslie cannot see him and cannot hear him the way that she can.
Clearly not. And then Nora realized perhaps she should seek medical attention.
Leslie was like, are you feeling okay? I know the job hunt's been crazy, but like you've been under a lot of stress. This is like a little crazy.
This happened to me when I was laid off as well. And I was like, Sarah, my mug friends.
You didn't trust me with that information, actually. You called somebody else that day.
Feeling really
I would have believed you. Abby would not have believed you. I would have believed you.
Me calling out Abby in this.
Blasphemy. I do believe Abby would believe me. I'll ask her later.
I will 100% believe you. But okay. So back, I don't know what happens with Leslie that like Nora turns to her mug and just starts talking to him as if she's not there. But she's like, oh my God. She can't see you or hear you like I can.
And, nope.
And Emerson decides to explain in that moment that before he went to sleep, the witch told them that only the person who could wake them, hear them, see them would be their soulmate.
A crazy thing to not immediately say.
And he was like, well,
prior to this point,
I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to freak out. And like, my thing is like, you're already a talking mug. I don't know how much more she can freak out.
Look, also, surely you were around when I was like, I'm about to have my friend come over and tell her all about you, my magical mug.
To be
you
fair,
maybe at least said that someone can't see you.
He didn't know she was coming until he saw out the window. She was walking up the front step. And then he was trying to like kind of get Nora's attention, and Nora was like, no big deal, it's just my friend Leslie, like blah blah blah. So he did try.
She literally can't see me. I'm being literal. She literally cannot see me. This is nothing.
She can only see my cremation exterior.
She cannot see my cremation face.
So
can't see my cremation face.
I think we've hit capacity at this point. Oh, okay. So Leslie is like, Nora, I think you need to go get some sleep. And she like leads Nora to bed. She tucks her in. And then as she's leaving the house, she puts the mug back into the cupboard. And then when Leslie is gone, Nora comes out to get him because she's like, I'm not just going to leave him in a cupboard. Because she heard her in the kitchen doing that.
Right. I'm also just not tired right now.
Yeah. And she, she is, because she leaves him out on the couch where he wants to sit. He's like, you can just leave me here. And she's like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So she goes to bed. And Nora contemplates like what her life will be like with a mug soulmate. Like, and
much to take in.
She decides that they need to go out and do something. In fact, they should go take a tour of the city. And as to not make it weird, she puts him in a mesh farmer's market bag so he can, like, see out the side of it.
Sure.
Okay. So during their walk, they spend some time in the park, and he tells the story of his life in England. And he didn't really work because his mother was really sick, and he was, like, her full-time caretaker. Mm-hmm. And then she died shortly before the mug incident, and he always felt at peace with that because, like, she didn't know about his change of lifestyle, I guess. Like,
she didn't know he identified as mug.
Yeah, she didn't know. Oh, she just lived a peaceful life. So I guess he's a freeloader, a living mama's boy, I guess. Yeah. So when they get home, she decides that she wants to decompress with a bubble bath. But as she's setting up the bath, she remembers how hot it was when she was unknowingly watched by Emerson. And so she's like, you want to join me? And he's like, fuck yeah. Also, what else do I have to do? Like, what else am I doing in this house?
My other option was be left on the couch as I asked.
Yes. So. And she gives him like a little strip tease complete with a spank on her ass. And he's like, quote, that does take the edge off a 300-year-old curse.
Great.
Okay.
You're welcome. I'm glad this made it worth it to be a mug for 300 years.
Yeah. So she sets him up on the corner of the bathtub. And I just want you to, because you are a bath lover, as am I. And, she has a bubble bath, okay? And then mm-hmm. she sets him on the corner of the tub.
Yes.
And somehow reveals to him her coochie and masturbates while he watches. And I'm really trying to understand her angles here.
So she must be like on her knees in the tub so that coochie is aligned with the... Well, that's like the closest proximity.
That's not what she's doing, though.
Is she over him?
No, she just like essentially spreads her legs and starts playing with herself. And I'm confused because I'm like, if you had bubbles, your bottom half would be under the bubbles. None of this makes sense, but just believe it for now.
Sure.
Okay?
That's okay. That's fine. Maybe it was that the bath was still filling up while she was jorking it. And so the bubbles weren't that high yet. And so it didn't obstruct the view.
I don't think that was the case, but maybe she's just really weirdly flexible and like hip thrusted out of that bath. Like, I don't know.
Who could say?
So I don't understand it, but he really enjoyed the show. And now they kind of fall into this domestic pattern where they're like, he's just hanging out while she does things around the house, and like they watch TV together. She informs him of like, I don't know, multiple world wars and like capital insurrections and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So then, okay. I just imagine it as, do you remember Ella Enchanted?
Yes.
The fairy girl who had the book boyfriend.
Yes.
That is precisely what I imagine this to be. Okay.
But with less face.
With
than
less
book
face. Just clippy eyes. Okay. So Leslie texts her to go to brunch, but doesn't mention the Emerson incident from earlier. So Nora's like, this is kind of sketch, but I'll go. And I fully at this point thought it was going to be like a, you know, intervention.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. You're being committed.
Yeah. That is not what it was. But she's like, do you want to go with me, Emerson? And he's like, where else do I have to be? And she's like, I'm going to put you in a tote this time because I think the mesh bag would create too many questions, especially given that
she'll see you and it's going to get weird.
It's going to get really weird. So at brunch, Nora is like clutching her tote in her lap and all of her friends are like, chill the fuck out and like put the fucking bag down. Okay. Yeah, well, and then she's like, like putting the bag down like nervously, like super fucking sketch. So they talk about nose jobs, they talk about whatever, like all these crazy things. And Nora spills something on herself at one point and she starts walking to the bathroom and then she thinks, oh no, I should probably have grabbed the bag, but if I go back now it's gonna look weird that I ran back to grab a bag and the bag that I was weird with earlier, so I'm just gonna leave it. So she leaves the bag at the table. She goes to the bathroom, cleans herself up. When she comes back from the bathroom, Leslie's like, okay, I gotta go. Bye-bye. And then everyone starts paying their bills and heads out. Homegirl picks up her tote and realizes it's way lighter than it was before.
It's about a mug's lighter than it was before.
Ceramic mug's worth.
Yeah.
And she realizes that Emerson has been cup-napped.
No!
So she goes crazy.
You didn't trigger warning cup napping in the beginning, Sarah.
That is so true. Nora's going wild. She runs up to the front desk and is like, did you take a mug from this table that doesn't look like your mugs here at the restaurant? And they were like, no. And then she starts walking around the block, yelling Emerson's name. And somebody at one point is like, did you lose your dog or lose your dog? And she goes, yeah. And then they were like, what does he look like? Like, I'm happy to help. And she's like, please don't.
Small, brown, gold flecks, clippy eyes.
Handle,
tail, I don't know.
So she even like lightly searches a trash can that's like overflowing. And she's freaking out. She's like wondering what her life is going to be without Emerson. And then she finds him sitting on a bus stop bench.
He's like, I gotta get out of here.
He's sitting there with his eyes closed.
He's got a little bindle and he's gonna go to Santa Fe.
Apparently, Leslie had taken him because she thinks Nora is mentally unwell. But why leave him at the bus stop is my question.
Like, you gotta go a different way.
You gotta leave town now or I'm ratting you out to the police. Like, I think that was the conversation they had. But Nora then goes on and explains that Leslie has this no-nonsense personality and has come from many issues, including her own mother's mental breakdown.
My mother also spoke to mugs, and I'll have none of it from my friends.
And when I reflect back on the beginning, when Nora thought that Leslie would be the best person to call in this situation.
What is your friendship?
I'm like,
also, you don't remember that your best friend's mom had a mental breakdown?
I'm like, I think Leslie would actually be the worst person to contact for this need. They have this brilliant idea, finally, to use technology to look up information about his village and the lore of maybe a witch woman around his village.
Whoa!
Crazy. But before they can get any research done, Leslie is really tired.
She needs to take a nap. Is so tired, and I get it.
She Holy fucking needs cow. A nap.
Me too, sister. I'm also that tired.
So she sets him up in bed next to her while she sleeps. But then she wakes up again, extremely horny. She starts masturbating and Emerson is like, you know, maybe you should pull back those covers. It would be a lot more entertaining. So she does. And then he's like, well, there's really a better view I could have than up here by the pillows. And she's like, you're absolutely right. And then she puts him right between her legs for a front row seat.
What was I thinking? Down there.
Of course not. So what happens next?
Watch what happens next.
Using his extremely hot British voice, He essentially dirty talk doms her into masturbating.
Honestly, that's great.
No, it is so good. His dirty talk, great for a 300-year-old man. So at one point, he does threaten to punish her if she doesn't obey him. And she obeys his command, but I'm desperate to know how he would have punished her.
Yeah, in what? Look, don't think about that right now.
When he doesn't have legs to go places.
It was for the sake of sounding hot and not for the sake of being practical, okay?
So true. So she's so close to finishing, but nothing is quite getting her there until he demands that she use him.
No, I thought maybe we'd avoid it.
So...
I don't know why. I just thought maybe we'd sneak past it.
She really gives him that cremation face. Okay. Okay, I'm done. I can't. I'm going to start
You said
so
we reached the limit on cremation face.
I had the best place to drop it, though. What are you talking about?
Drop okay. that cremation face.
So she literally starts grinding against this coffee mug. Okay. And I think about his clippy eyes. And I just think about it.
He had clippy eyes the whole time.
He's rubbing his clippy eyes against her juices. And that just really freaks me out.
Just a lot of eye contact.
Okay.
But so not in the way you're thinking.
Oh, my God. Okay. I can't. Okay. Let me get this out. All right. So... She reaches completion and they decide that he will now be her verbal dom from here on out. Okay.
I'm glad they worked it out.
Yeah. And the next morning he's like ready to down to clown again. And he's like, but before we do, we need you to eat food because I don't eat, but you do. And I need you to have good energy before we do this again. And okay. So they're sitting over breakfast and the doorbell rings. Guess who? It's Leslie.
She's like, I called my friend in Santa Fe and the mug never showed up that I put on the bus for there.
He never arrived. I know he's still in here. Anyway, so Leslie notices that Emerson is back and she kind of loses her shit. To be fair, she's super triggered by her experience with her own mother and is like looking out for her mentally unwell friend, which I can't blame her for, you know?
She's so ill.
So they start fighting about Emerson. And in a heated moment of pushing and pulling, Emerson flies out of their hands. Nora sees it all happen in like slow motion. She knows there is nothing she can do to stop him from crashing against her hard floors. So she says the one thing she possibly can.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
And before he hits the floor, a blue light flares in an explosion.
Yeah, you bet wind, it does.
Wind rushes through the room. And when it's all past, a tall, lean man with long, wild blonde hair and oh so familiar eyes is standing right there. Hey, that's probably copyright.
I'm sorry.
So Leslie is so shocked she passes out.
And I bet Leslie just poops. I don't know what else you'd do.
He's literally passed out unconscious on the floor. Nora runs to him in this like movie moment and like jumps on him, kisses him. They realize that they probably like broke the spell when she said I love you. They take like one moment to look at Leslie and decide to let her sleep it off before he carries her to the bedroom. And
unbelievable behavior. They are not about to fuck with a passed out Leslie
in the other room. They sure are.
Unbelievable.
So he carries her out to the bedroom and she tells him, I would love to play with your real handle.
Ooh.
Yes. And as they're undressing, all she says is that he's wearing a loose white shirt, which means he's probably in the same clothes he was 300 years ago.
I simply don't have the answers for how that magic works. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going to drop it.
I think it's interesting because many a times when we do these books, they're naked. So I like that which just kept the clothes.
That makes sense. But I appreciate that this magic was like, you can keep them because magic is real.
Yeah. I mean, so much is real. So she also notices that he has a little scar above mm-hmm. his right eye, which is where that blemish in the cup was.
Of course.
And she's like, where'd you get that? And he was like, a wood chopping incident. She's like, that's crazy. That's it.
Completely unrelated. Just had a wood chopping incident.
Yeah. And then they both give a little bit of oral before having very plain missionary sex. And he gives her some dirty talk in that British accent.
I don't know what the positions were like back when he was a man. So,
I'm so glad you mentioned this, because then I say in my notes, after they both finish, I thought to myself that they never even talked about birth control, which I low-key put on her because he probably doesn't understand modern birth control.
True. Well,
they probably had birth control back then.
My lamb skin sheet?
Yes. Where are my intestines that I wrap my dick in? Like, whatever. Anyway.
Wow.
So in laying in the bliss of post-sex, they are on the bed and he finally fucking says, I love you, back to her. And then they hear Leslie yell from the other room, what the fuck's going on? And then the book ends.
Well, it's kind of like, kind of reminds me of the end of Toy Story.
Oh, I mean, sure.
Where like they're listening to everybody open Christmas presents, and then at the very end they're like, it's a puppy, and all the toys are like, and that's just the end. But this end is just like, we've remembered that a other person is in the room.
Yes. So how do you feel post
portal?
yeah, this, I'll say, for the writing of this book, it was very like lighthearted, clever at the beginning, and then like the mug puns were heavy at the beginning, like, you know, all of that was like the first half of the book, and then the second half was like, okay, we need to get action
plot,
out
plot, plot, plot,
yeah, plot. Plot, 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 no time for witty banter anymore. Okay, so I will say that that kind of was a little bit of a disappointment on moi's end, but let's go through our grading card. Diversity, I do have to say, having them be like in their mid-30s was so really diverse. Nice. I think it was nice to have older people, because a lot of the times our characters...
Older people, I want to throw up.
No, listen to me. Listen to me, because most of the time it's like a 21-year-old girl and like a maybe 30-year-old guy. Like, that's how these typically play out. We don't often see them be above 30 years old. It's typically true. Like a freshly 22-year-old girl. Right. Like, so I appreciate that they be shown ages of all sorts.
More than one. Yeah, that is
and
good.
335 years old.
And the mug is ombre, so.
Yeah. So I was a little disappointed that he had long blonde hair like Fabio, because that gives me the ick to the max.
That's not for me. It is exactly like Beauty and the Beast, where maybe he was hotter as a mug.
Yeah. I will give the plot, I'll give it a 4.5 because it had a lot, but I hate that we never got to the point of actually thinking, maybe we should look things up. Maybe we should investigate what the fuck is going on.
It just seems like it would be kind of hard to look that specifically up. I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay. Smut, I'm going to give it a 4 because I think we did the most with what we had as a mug. Like, I thought she was going to do some crazy shit with the handle. I'm not going to lie. But the voyeurism was on par and the dirty talk was pretty good. I was a little, the end was very anticlimactic to me after all the fun things we did. So what are you going to give it?
Yeah, I'll give it a 4. Okay. That sounds about fair.
And the cover, the one I have seen as a part of my Kindle, is right there for you to look at, if you would be oh so inclined. And I know your first complaint with this. Can I tell the audience what your first complaint will be?
Sure.
It'll be that the mug on the cover does not at all match the description of the mug in the book.
That is true. It is the most basic mug.
It is like literally a white dollar mug that you would get from the Dollar Tree.
For what it is worth, I looked up a 17, well, what I typed in Google was 1700s mug, and then what I found was a cool mug that I can't necessarily confirm is or is not from the 1700s, and it's infinitesimally cooler than this mug, but that's okay. It is a all black background. It says, claimed by a coffee mug, an erotic romance short story in font. Underneath that is the most basic white mug really no defining features on it other than it's got a handle. It's just a white mug with some steam coming out of it. And
with
it's
some blue steam, which blue, I think is a reference back to the blue light, which I don't know.
I had forgotten about the blue light, but yeah, you may be correct.
That's
about
my
that.
Only thing is like, I'm like, where does the blue come in? But okay.
Or it might not actually be blue. That might just be how the lighting caught steam.
Okay. Hard to say. Fair. Okay. Okay. Keep going.
I pretty much described the whole cover. There's not really
anything so left. Plain. I'm giving it a 2.
Yeah, that's a 1 for me. Stop. I can have low ratings. Leave me alone.
No, I'm just saying, is this our first time having a low rating?
Probably not.
Should I go with a 1 with you?
You don't have to.
I'll do a 1. You've convinced me.
I don't think I did anything to convince you, but sit here.
You've convinced me. It's done. Okay, will you describe, before I give our final tally, will you give us what the secondary cover is, which I'm sure you are wishing it was.
It's not the craziest thing I've ever seen, but it is fascinating for my eye. My eyes are kind of like confused to try and process it. So in the background is like a small town city street with a couple little buildings in the back that look like, I don't know, small town businesses. Could be anywhere. Could be my hometown. Could be your hometown. There is a woman who I hope is created by AI, because everything about her is the most unreal looking I've ever seen. But she's got like a nice little pink sweater on, and she's got blonde hair, and her face looks like it might be made up of like 3 different celebrities' individual face parts all meshed into one person's face. Is the only way I can describe how this woman's face looks. And she's holding, again, just a little white mug, but there is a more obvious blue glow from the mug, and you also have like kind of a more obviously blue steam coming out of it. And yeah, this is way better, but also jarring to my eyeballs to look
at. It's the foreground is like, I can't tell what, I don't know. It's very 2D. I don't know how to explain it.
A coffee mug is in what I'm going to describe as like a red rusty effect, kind of, sort of, not super, a little bit. It's giving small town with a fun reclaimed store.
Yes.
Is what it's giving. But also there's like an uncanny valley thing that's happening.
It definitely is.
That I don't know how to describe. So everyone will just have to look it up for themselves.
So that brings us to 60% for me and 66% for you. What is your Sisma moment to wrap us up?
She did rub her spoochie on a coffee mug. I can't on really ignore eyes. That. So right on the eyeballs. That can't be good for anyone's health.
I will also loop in the idea that she slept so much for like no reason other than to end the scene and to move on to the next scene.
That did not faze me for how much I nap, which
no,
is
but
daily.
I also do. I know.
I was like, that sounds like my life.
But I'm also a very eepy girl. So like,
so eepy.
So then I also have to loop in too that they just like didn't think about like, we need to break the curse. Let's research. Let's try and do that. They just were like, this is crazy.
I understand wild. Because Emerson only has eyeballs and no mouth, but I would have almost instinctually smooched or drank from him to see if that made him be a person again.
Like, oh, I
obviously that
would
wouldn't have worked, but a montage of things to try, the first of which being to consume from his cup and or give him just a little smooch.
Just a little smoochy smooch.
A little
What would that hurt anybody? Look, we smooch mugs all the time.
It seems like you would have just kind of liked to be smooching on your mug anyway, so I don't see what the harm is.
Yeah, I think you wanted to smooch.
Just give him some smoochies.
I'm surprised that she didn't drink anything out of him. I thought that was... But then, like, is it like his lungs? Like, is it violating to put something in there?
But I have to think no, because he was talking about trying to fill her up, but maybe that's just talk. Hard to say with mugs.
But also, after this is not our first mug related story, because if we reflect back on Seduced by the Pumpkin Spice Latte, where the pumpkin spice was not an animate object, it was more like a sexual elixir.
Yeah.
Yes. And she did titty toss some tits into that mug. So I was prepared for some titty tossing.
She was dropping
too.
It in. Yes. Oh, yeah. Well, I will say that in this situation, Emerson would have probably really enjoyed it. And in the pumpkin spice situation, it was just that the beverage was so sexual and had little to do with the mug.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine if you got, hear me out, this might be too sexy. Put pumpkin spice latte in Emerson mug.
See how that does for both
sounds
of you.
Like a sounds like a sexual explosion.
That might do a lot. Well, that is our book.
We did it.
We did it. You can find us if you so choose on TikTok or Instagram at SixMuttPodcast. Additionally, send us your book recs. Send us our way via email at SixMuttPodcast@gmail.com. I will say that I sent you a voice memo the other night being like, oh, I found a holy grail of books that I can't wait to use for the podcast. So I am very excited. So also, pop us a rating or review, like we said. Do it. Now you've had the whole podcast under your belt. You're like, I for sure love these girly pops. Anyway, you know, stay smutty. Keep your eyes out there for those mugs in those.
And keep your eyes not directly in smoochy. Keep your eyes.
We don't want any like pink eye weird shit happening.
Just be careful with your eyes when you're down there.
Eye care is healthcare, is what I always say.
Yes, that's what we always say.
All right, stay smutty, y'all. Bye-bye. Goodbye.